الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to EDARS.com.
الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. فقال جل وعلا: يرفع الله الذين آمنوا منكم والذين أوتوا العلم درجات. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: اطلب العلم ولو بالسين، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. My respected teachers, respected shuyukh, respected elders, and my young brothers, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. An occasion of happiness and joy for you and I, and every Muslim that lives in England. I begin by praising the Almighty, the One, the Only. And I begin by congratulating our senior, Maulana Mahmood Jandia Saab, for achieving something that is more than worthy of mention for somebody like me. For achieving something that holds weight in modern day society. And I further thank him for paving the way, for showing brothers like yourself and I that there is more to life, more to a student's life after he graduates from institutions like this. And at the same time, I make it clear, by Allah, I am not here today to address you as in addressing or lecturing. By Allah, this thing is well beyond me. I'm not fit to do such a thing. And then in the presence of my teachers, my sitting here and talking to you is nothing but su'ul adab, disrespect. By Allah, I have no choice in the matter. And I ask for forgiveness. I am here today as a big brother with the intention only addressing my young ones who study at this moment in time, so that my young brothers do not make the mistakes that I made as a student, so that they do not live to regret as I do at this moment in time. Not very long ago, I used to study at this very institute. 13 young, naive, not realizing the value of the golden opportunity that Allah bestowed upon me, the value of the blessing and ni'mah that Allah bestowed upon me, chose me from millions, brought me out from the depths of ignorance, from the darkness of Bradford, into a place of nur, into an epitome of guidance, not realizing the value of time, the value of knowledge, the value of my teachers, not realizing the true meaning of the verses of the Quran. يَغْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتٍ. Not realizing the true meaning of the verse of the Quran. قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. Not realizing the true meaning of the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَضْلُ الْعَالِمْ عَلَى الْعَابِثِ فَفَضْلِ عَلَى أُمَّتِي. The true meaning of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. اُطْلُبُ الْعِلْمَ وَلَوْ بِالسِّينِ. O Muslim, اُغْضُ عَالِمًا أو مُتَعَلِّمًا مَنْ صَلَكَ طَرِيكًا يَلْتَمِثُ فِيهَا عِلْمًا سَخَّرَ اللَّهُ لَهُ طَرِيكًا إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ يَشْفَعُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ ثَلَاثَةٌ الْأَنْبِيَاءُ ثُمَّ الْعُلَمَاءُ ثُمَّ الشُّهَدَاءُ. Not realizing the true meaning of these things, I made mistakes which I regret to this very day. And I'm sure my young brothers are making the very same mistakes as students at the end of the day. A student. The only thing on mine was football. As if that was the key to success and the key to Jannah. As if that was the purpose behind man's creation on dunya. We would play dinner time, we would play tea time, we would play in the evening, every day, 7 days a week. Tried my utmost best to dodge anjuman. Any opportunity came to take off class, and it was taken. Mutala time was spent talking. In short, a golden opportunity of a lifetime was wasted. Is this what our Salaf understood from these verses of the Quran? Is this what the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was teaching? What did our Salaf understand from these verses of the Quran? What did they understand from these ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Open the books and you will find that there was no time to wait. There was no such thing as dodging and diving. There was no such thing as waiting for Qari Sahib in the morning to wake them up for class. The great master Ja'far ibn Drustuya writes, he relates that the majlis, the hadith majlis of Ali ibn al-Madini would be the following day. We would come a day in advance and we would sit at the time of Asr in the very place the following day Ali ibn al-Madini was going to relate the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We would come a day in advance and we would sit there from the time of Asr, and we would sit there and we would keep on waiting. We would wait there all night till the following day, because we feared that if we came on the day of the majlis, we would not find place. Thus we would be deprived of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ja'far ibn Drustuya relates that this was our halat, this was our situation. In the very same majlis, there were those youth, there were those elders, that they would be listening to Ali ibn al-Madini relate the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They would be in need of emptying their bladder. They would be in need of going to the lavatory, but they would not move from their place. They would urinate in their place, in their saylatans, and they would bury their saylatans, fearing that if they stood from their place, somebody else would sit in their place, and thus they would be deprived of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi. This was the love, this was the zeal for knowledge, this was the thirst for knowledge, and this was the fire that was burning inside their hearts to acquire this blessed nur that Allah has given us in institutions like this. Ali ibn Asim relates, Dafa ilayya abi mi'ata alf dirham. My father gave me 100,000 dirham, and he said to me, Izhab fara'a laka wajhan illa bi mi'ati alf hadith. He said, go, I do not want to see your face till you have come and acquired 100,000 hadith. Tell me, can modern day society produce an example like this, where the father is giving a child 100,000 dirham of those times, and he is giving it to him to acquire and to seek knowledge? Yahya ibn Ja'far al-Baykandi relates that Ali ibn Asim acted upon his father's advice. He acted upon his father's advice in such a way, and he acquired such knowledge. كان يجتمع عند علي بن عاصم أكثر من 30,000. That the day came in which Ali ibn Asim had acquired such knowledge that over 30,000 people would be sitting around Ali ibn Asim, and they would be sitting around him and listening to him relay the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they would be acquiring the knowledge, this nur from him. Ubayd ibn Ya'ish relates, أَقَمْتُ سَلَافِينَ سَنَةً مَا أَقَلْتُ بَيَدَيَّ بِاللَّيْلِ. I remained for 30 years, and within this period of 30 years, not once did I eat with my own hands. Why? قَالَتْ أُخْتِي تُلَقِّمُنِي. My sister would make the luqmas, and she would put these luqmas inside my mouth. And what was I doing? وَنَا أَكْتُبُ الْحَدِيثِ. Such was my situation, that I would be writing the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was my occupation for 30 years. I could not find time to eat. My sister would pity me, and she would put the luqmas inside my mouth. Such was the love that Muhammad ibn al-Musayyib al-Ghiyani had for this nur. That it is related that he would walk the streets of Misr, وَفِي كُمِّهِ مِئَةُ الْحَدِيثِ, and within his sleeves would be 100,000 hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was said to Abu Ali, فَكَيْفَ كَانَ يُمْكِنُ هَذَا. Abu Ali, tell me, how is this possible? 100,000 hadith in his sleep. He replied, كَانَتْ أَجْزَاءُ صِغَارًا لِخَطٍ دَقِيقٍ. That his handwriting was small, and the ajza was small. In every juz, he would write 1,000 hadith, and he would carry 100 juz in his sleep, wherever he walked, and wherever he went, and he was known, and he became famous and known because of this. Hisham ibn Ammar came to Imam Malik ibn Anas, and he said to Imam Malik rahimahullah, hadithni, relate the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to me. And Imam Malik replied, ikra, you will read. He said, no, but hadithni, you relate the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to me. Yet again Imam Malik replied, ikra, you will read. Hisham ibn Ammar said, when this took place a few times, Imam Malik ordered somebody to take him and beat him 15 times. He said, I was taken and I was beaten 15 times, and I was presented before the great Imam Malik rahimahullah. And I said to Imam Malik, Zalamtani, O Malik, you have been wrong to me, you have been zulm on me, you have oppressed me. Darabtani khamsa ashara darratan bighayri jurmi. You have beat me 15 times without me doing wrong, without any jurm, without any sin. La aj'aluka fi hilf. I will not forgive you, I will hold you accountable on the day of judgment. Imam Malik asked, فَمَا كَفَّارَتُهُ. Tell me what will redeem this. Tell me the kafara for this. Listen to his answer. He says, relate 15 hadith. You have beaten me 15 times. You will relate 15 hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to me. He says, Imam Malik related 15 hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Imam Malik finished relating 15 hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I said to Imam Malik, زِدْ مِنَ الضَّرْبُ وَزِدْ فِي الْحَدِيثِ. O Imam Malik, have me beaten, keep on beating me, as long as you keep on relating the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to me. Imam Malik began to smile and told him to leave. Even when they were in the last throes, they were on the verge of leaving this world, the only concern they had was to acquire this nur. The only concern they had was to learn the masail. Abu Hassan al-Walwali, he relates that I came to visit Abu Rayhan. He was at the time 78 years old. He was in the last throes. He was on the verge of leaving this world. I came to visit him, and on seeing me, he said to me, tell me, كيف قلت لي يوم الحساب الجدات الفاسدة. You related a certain masla to me a few days ago. I have forgotten this masla. Please tell me what that masla was. He's in his last throes. He's on the verge of leaving this world. Abu al-Hassan al-Walwalidi says, فَقُلْتُ لَهُ إِشْفَاقًا عَلَيَّ فِي هَذِي الْحَالَةِ. Pitying him and showing mercy to him, I said to him, in this state, you're on the verge of leaving this world and your concern is only for that very same masla. He replied, يَا هَذَا أودع الدنيا وأنا عالم بهذه المسألة ألا يكون خيرا من أن أخليها وأنا جاهل بها. أو أبو الحسن, I leave this world in such a state that I know this masala, it is not better than I leave it not knowing it. He says, I related the masala to him and I left. I had just left when I could hear the screaming and shouting. Abu Rayhan had left the world. This was their only concern. Today, alhamdulillah, we have institutions like this. We have madaris like this, in which the teachers come to us. Everything is provided. Facilities are better than some of the facilities that we have in our houses. without Salaf al-Saliheen, things were not like this. The sacrifices they made to acquire this nur, words cannot describe these sacrifices. Ibn al-Qasim says, أَلَقْتُ بِبَابِ مَالِكِ سَبَى عَشَرَ فَرَى, that I stayed outside the doors of the great Imam Malik rahimahullah for 17 years. Do not think I was there because I was buying and selling things on the street. مَا بِعْتُ وَلَشْتَرَيْتُ شَيْءٍ, not once did I purchase anything, or not once did I sell anything. I was in the company of the great Imam Malik rahimahullah, when all of a sudden the Hujjaj of Misr came, and from amongst them, a young man came, and this young man greeted Imam Malik rahimahullah with salam, assalamu alayka ya Malik, and he asked, Afikum Ibn al-Qasim, tell me, is Ibn al-Qasim amongst you? Imam Malik rahimahullah pointed towards Ibn al-Qasim. And this young man came, went to Ibn al-Qasim, and surprisingly began to kiss Ibn al-Qasim on his forehead. Ibn al-Qasim says, فَوَجَدْتُ مِنْهُ رِيحًا طَيِّبًا, I smell a good fragrance coming from him. It came to my knowledge that this young man who was kissing my forehead was my son. He did not even know that this was his son. Because 17 years he was outside the doors of Imam Malik, Allah knows best how many years he spent outside the door of another sheikh or another shuk. When he had left his wife in such a state that if his child today was inside his wife's womb. Everything they possessed, they sacrificed for the sake of this nur and for the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Umar al-Rawasi sacrificed his fingers for the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yaqub ibn Sufyan sacrificed his eyes for the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yaqub ibn Sufyan says that for 30 years, I left home, and after 30 years I returned. I kept on traveling for a period of 30 years. And such was our habit that we would read during the day and we would write the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during the night. One night, as I was writing the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was a cold night, water fell into my eyes and my eyesight was no more. I had become blind. He says, tears began to flow from my eyes, not because I lost my eyesight. I began to cry and grieve because I could no longer acquire this nur and this knowledge of hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, I fell asleep on the very night I saw Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam in my dreams. Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam said, Ya Yaqub lima anta bakayta, Yaqub, tell me why you cry. I said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam zahaba basari, fatahassartu ala ma fahin. O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my eyesight is no more and I grieve and I cry that I have been deprived of acquiring this nur of hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam passed his hands over my eyes, and when I woke up in the morning, my eyesight had been restored and I continued writing the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whatever they possessed, they sacrificed for the sake of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yahya ibn Ma'in's father was a very rich man. It is narrated, فَخَلَّفَ لِإِبْنِهِ أَلْفَ أَلْفْ دِرْحَمْ وَخَمْسِينَ أَلْفْ دِرْحَمْ, that his father, we're talking about 1300 years ago, he has left him 1,050,000 dirhams of that time. فَأَنْفَكَهُ يَحْيَا كُلَّهُ عَلَى الْحَدِيثِ حَتَّى لَمْ يَبْقَى لَهُ نَعْلٌ يَلْبَسُهُ, every single dirham, 1,050,000 dirhams, every single dirham he spent on the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the extent that he did not even have slippers left to wear. Do we think Imam Malik became Imam Malik overnight? أَلَمَّ بِهِ الْفَقْرْ حَتَّ بَاءَ خَشَبَ سَقْفَ بَيْتِهِ, Imam Malik, to acquire this blessed nur, times came upon Imam Malik that he had to sell the timber of his house. And it is because of sacrifices like this, Imam Malik became Imam Malik. Even the clothes that were on their bodies, if the need came to sell these clothes to acquire one hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ, then it was easy to sell these clothes for these hadiths. Ali ibn Hazm says that we came to Zayd ibn al-Hubab. We came to visit him. Zayd ibn al-Hubab didn't have any clothes to come out to meet us in. He opened the door. He hid behind the door. We stayed where we were. And Zayd ibn al-Hubab related the hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ behind the door. There was no time for eating and there was no time for sleeping. Muhammad ibn Abdus, for 30 years, the very same wudu that he had performed for Isha, it is with the very same wudu that he performed his Fajr Salah. 15 years because they stayed awake during the night for dirasa, studying and working the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And 15 years he spent doing Allah Allah, spent reading nawafil during the night. This is the first thing our elders did. They worked, and they worked hard to acquire this blessed noor. And the second thing our elders did was that they did not restrict themselves to one madrasa, one shaykh, one city. We believe that 6 years in madrasa, and we have seen it, we have done it, we have become it, and we have achieved it. This was not the mentality of Salaf al-Salihin. They widened their horizons by traveling to different corners of the globe. Wherever they believed this noor existed, wherever they believed they could acquire something, they made it their aim, objective, to go to that place, to acquire this noor, and they acquired this noor. Jabir ibn Abdullah رضي الله تعالى عنه النريس بلغني عن رجل من أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حديث سمعوا من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لم أسمعوا منه. I was informed that a certain Sahabi was relating a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which he directly heard from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which I, Jabir ibn Abdullah, had not heard. Immediately I purchased a camel and I prepared for the long hardest journey, and I traveled and I kept on traveling for a month till I come to Sham, and I found that this person was Abdullah al-Ansari. I sent a message, he telling to Jabir ibn Abdullah is waiting for you outside. He comes, he embraces me, I embrace him, and I tell him that I have come all the way from Madinah al-Munawwara because I have heard you are relating a certain hadith regarding mazalim which you have heard directly from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I have come because I feared فَخَشِيتُ أَنْ أَمُوتَ أَوْ تَمُوتَ قَبْلَ and أسمعه, because I, Jabir ibn Abdullah, feared that I, Jabir, may meet Allah, I may leave this world, or you, Abdullah al-Ansari, may leave this world before I'm able to acquire this noor from you, before I'm able to take this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from you. Because of this fear, I have come all the way from Madinah al-Munawwara. Abu Sa'd traveled to 100 different cities to acquire this noor. Yaqub ibn Sufyan said, أقمتوا في الرحلة 30 سنة, that I stayed absent from my house and kept on traveling for 30 years. Ibn al-Mu'ammal relates, we used to say, كما بقي بلد لم يدخله الفضل الشهراني في طلب الحديث إلا الأندلس. We would say that there is not a single city Fadl al-Shahrani has not entered to seek this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam except for Spain. Today we are fortunate that Allah has made it easy for us. There is different types of transport available. The trains, the cars, the ship, the plane. Our elders were not fortunate. Muhammad ibn Tahir al-Maqdisi in one night would walk 17 farsakh. One farsakh is equivalent to around 5 kilometers. 17 times 5 equals 85 kilometers in one night. He would walk for the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Hatim says that the first time I left my house, I stayed absent for 7 years. And I counted the miles that I'd walked. And I kept a record, and I kept on counting till I'd walked 1,000 farsakh, which equals to 5,000 kilometers. He says, when I had walked over 5,000 kilometers, I stopped recording, I stopped counting. Baqi ibn Makhlad al-Andalusi left his home twice. The first time he left his home, he stayed away for 14 years. The second time he left his home, he stayed away for 20 years. A total of 34 years. Within this period of 34 years, not once did Baqi ibn Makhlad ever ride on an animal. He walked continuously for 34 years. Beginning at the age of 20, he walked all the way from Spain. Walking, he made his way to Baghdad to meet the great Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal to acquire this noor from him. Wherever they believed this noor was there, whether it was just one mas'ala, whether there was just one sheikh to meet, they made it their aim and objective to meet this sheikh, to go to this place and to acquire the noor. There was no such thing as asking the teachers for ishara. There was no such thing as only learning those pieces that we believe that were going to come into the Salana imtihan or the Sahmai imtihan or Shashmai imtihan. The aim and objective was to acquire all this noor so that they can benefit the believers. The aim and objective was to become a master so that they can benefit the Muslim and so that they can benefit mankind. Imam Makul al-Dimishki, he was a slave, a woman belonging to the tribe of Banu Huzayl. He says, when she freed me, I did not leave Misr till I had acquired all the knowledge of Misr. ثم أتيت الحجاز فما خرجت منها وبها علم إلا حويت عليها فيما أرى. I came to Hijaz and I acquired all the knowledge of Hijaz. I came to Iraq and I acquired all the knowledge of Iraq. They became such masters that they could claim and they could challenge كمن أغرض علي حديثا صحيحا مطندا فله علي درهم يتصدق به. They could make these challenges. Abu Hatim made this challenge, and he made this challenge outside the door of Abu al-Walid al-Tayalisi. He is making this challenge. He says hundreds have gathered. Abu Hatim and Abu Zuha and the works are there. He says they have gathered. My intention was not of challenges. My intention was that these masters would gather and they will relate a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which I, Abu Hatim, do not know. He says they gather. فَلَمْ يَتَحَيَّ لِأَحَدٍ أَنْ يُغْرِبَ عَلَيَّ حَدِيثًا. No one was able to come out with a hadith which I, Abu Hatim, did not know. When Imam Bukhari returned to Samarkand, 400 masters have gathered and they changed the hadith. They mixed the chains, the chain of Sham into Iraq, the chains of Sham into Iraq. 400 masters, and they are testing the great Imam al-Bukhari, and they are testing him continuously for 9 days. Questions are coming from all directions. Not once are they able to take a mistake of the great Imam Bukhari. The great master Yahya ibn Ma'in put Abu Na'im to a similar test. Not once was Yahya ibn Ma'in able to take a single mistake out of Abu Na'im. Such masters they became. The Hafiz ibn Manda, when he returned from his journey, it is related that 40 beasts were required just to pick up his books. The great master Yahya ibn Ma'in acquired such knowledge that he himself writes, كَتَبْتُ بِيَدَيَّ أَلْفَ أَلْفْ حَدِيثٍ, that I have written with my very own hands 1,000,000 hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He spent 1,050,000 for the sake of a hadith and he has written with his very own hands 1,000,000 hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ibn al-Jawzi became such a master that Ibn al-Jawzi himself on the minbar said, كَتَبْتُ بِأَصْبُعِي أَلْفَي مُجَلَّدْ وَتَابَ عَلَى يَدَيَّ مِئَةُ أَلْفٍ وَأَسْلَمَ عَلَى يَدَيَّ عِشْرُونَ أَلْفٍ. They have written with my very own hands 2,000 mujallad. 100,000 people have repented on my hands and 20,000 have embraced Islam on my hands. Ibn Shaheen became such a master that he wrote 330 books. Just his tafsir was in 1,000 juz. His musnad was in 1,500 juz. Ibn Abi Dunya left 1,000 works. Ibn Hazm wrote 400 volumes, which equals 80,000 pages. Hafiz Abu Abdullah al-Hakim wrote 1,500 juz. The great master Ibn al-Arabi, just his tafsir al-Quran, Anwar al-Fajr, it is said that it consists of 80,000 pages. Just his tafsir, 80,000 pages. Imam Tabari, when he died, his students worked out the days he lived in this world. From the day he was valid to the day he died. And then they divided this number with the pages that he had written and it worked out 14 pages a day. Imam Tabari remained alive for 86 years. Say he was valid at the age of 14. That makes it 72 years from the day he was valid to the day he died. 72 times 365 days a year times 14. It is over 300,000 pages that he has written in a lifetime. Every word a gem, every word a pearl. The second thing our Salaf al-Salihin did was, they made sure that they have really acquired this knowledge. And the third thing our elders did was, they did not restrict themselves to just ulum al-diniyah as we call. Once they had acquired ulum al-diniyah, and when there was a need to acquire the ulum al-dunyawiyyah, not only did they acquire the ulum al-dunyawiyyah, they mastered the ulum al-dunyawiyyah. Pizarro, to whom the discovery of the third lunar inequality has been wrongly distributed. 10 centuries ahead of him. You will come across the name of Hassan, whose treatise on optics served as a basis for the work of Kepler and Roger Bacon. You will come across the name of the illustrious Ali ibn Yunus, who was the founder, who was the inventor of the pendulum and the sundial. And it was his work that replaced Ptolemy's work. Take mathematics, and you will come across the name of Muhammad ibn Musa al-Khwarizmi. It was they who invented algebra. The word algebra was taken from his thesis al-Jabr. And the word algorithm was taken from his name al-Khwarizmi. You will come across the name of Thabit ibn Jarrah, who developed algebra and first realized its application to geometry. You will come across the name of al-Battani, who was the first to use the expressions sine and cosine. You will come across the name of Muhammad ibn Ahmad, who invented the sign for zero in 976, and it only came to be known by the West in the 13th century. Take physics, and as Mr. Humboldt says, that it is the Arabs that should be regarded as the founders of this work, of this science. Chemistry did not even exist as a science before the Muslims. It was the Muslims who discovered sulfuric acid, nitric acid, potassium, silver nitrate, processes like crystallization, distillation. And medicine, what to say about Ibn Sina? It was he who mastered medicine only at the age of 16 and would lecture in it. This was our elders. And the final thing our elders did was, it's once what we call today a graduation. There was no graduation in those days. Once they had acquired this nur, did not sit in their houses. The aim and objective after acquiring this nur was to serve the Muslims. They served the Muslims and they fulfilled the need of the Muslims and fulfilled the need of the time. The great Imam Bukhari, when Imam Bukhari came, many works of hadith had already been written. Many masani had already been written. But all the books before Imam Bukhari were such that they consisted of authentic and non-authentic hadiths. Imam Bukhari, seeing that the need of the time was to compile a book only containing authentic hadith, said labbaik to this need and fulfilled the need of the Muslims by compiling a book only containing authentic hadith. Today there are many needs. There are different needs. There are needs for imamah. There are needs for tabligh. There are needs for opening schools. There are needs for opening madaris. There is a need for opening makatib. There is a need for opening orphanages. There is a need for opening nursing homes. There are many different needs. And it is the responsibility of you and I to serve the Muslims and fulfill this need. Allah gave me the tawfiq to act upon what I've said and you also.
Zetveki, džamaj mojte financije,